Do other nations have a diversification problem in their economies regarding oil? Saudi Arabia may be able to absorb an oil price drop to $40 a barrel or something like that, but who else? The oil drop is an immediate stimulus to the broader U.S. economy, but it will also be a drag on parts of the U.S. economy that have grown used to $100 barrel oil and are seeing their wells of cash dry up, even as the crude flows. Dan Dicker, author of Oil's Endless Bid, joins me now. Dan, welcome.
Hi, thanks, John.
So do we have a diversification problem here in the United States?
Well, less than the Saudis, for sure, and certainly less than the Iranians and far less than the Russians. But, you know, I believe that oil has become a major part of this economy, and it's not being appreciated on how much actual problems we'll have from oil that's dropping. We may be more like Russia than we'd like to think we are.
Now, is that a North Dakota headline or a Texas headline or both?
I think it's a U.S. headline. We've gotten, 5.5 or 6 million jobs over the course of the last 5 years. 1.5 million of those came from the oil and gas industry.
Now, since 2007, when oil hit, I believe, briefly $30 a barrel, and then maybe it was 2008. It was right when the financial meltdown happened. And then it shot up, and it sort of hovered around $100 a barrel. People have said there's been a fundamental realignment and that whatever the fluctuations are near term, that shale is going to be economic and that these sources that were not traditionally economically viable are going to be economically viable. Are suddenly with this $54 barrel oil, are people reconsidering that and that it's maybe not a long-term play to do this fracking on this scale?
Yeah, there's no doubt that the oil industry, oil companies in general, took the $100 barrel of oil or something close to that very much for granted. What's clear is that shale oil does not work at under $60 a barrel in many, many places in the United States. That won't be seen for months because many of the oil companies, they undertake projects that take months and sometimes years to come to fruition. But over the course of time, we've already seen many of the oil companies cut the amounts of spends that they're planning to do. And spending means that you go looking for fresh oil. And when you cut spends, what happens is that you stop drilling rigs. And after you stop drilling rigs, production goes down. There's no way around it. Despite the fact that demand keeps on going up globally, we're going to see, if prices stay down here for an extended period of time, and I think they will, a tremendous drop in the production here in the United States and elsewhere.
Where do you fall on the Saudi conspiracy theory spectrum?
It's one of several things that have contributed to this this colossal drop in the price of oil, this unexpected drop of oil. I think that the Saudis have several reasons why they might want to see oil prices drop here, some of them geopolitical and some of them having to do with the viability of OPEC in general. But I think they tried very hard in the weeks and months leading up to the OPEC meeting to try and find some consensus for a production drop and could not find it either inside the cartel or outside of it. They had several meetings with the Venezuelans, Omanis, they went to Russia, and they decided to let these low prices percolate inside the market and see how many of the weak players they could force out. And it seems clear there's going to be many that are forced.
So the Saudis hold on to market share. That's possibly one clear conclusion from this crisis. Is there a financial follow-on crisis that comes from this in the sense that with the capital costs so high in the oil exploration business that some companies are going to default on debt and that there may be a bubble bursting here a couple of months down the line?
Yeah, precisely. There is what we've had over the course of the last 3 or 4 years is obviously Fed-inspired very low interest rates across the board. And low interest rates have inspired a lot of investment at very, very good rates for otherwise very risky endeavors. As these oil and gas companies become less viable at oil prices that are low, you have the makings of a crisis, a credit crisis, not so much unakin to what we had in 2008. Remembering that, you know, credit was really the issue on getting the economy started again in 2008 and 2009. I don't think this plays itself into the same degree, obviously, that the housing crisis does, but there is a credit bubble in high yield right now in these small oil and gas companies, and how that plays out will have its effects because such a large percentage of high yield is held inside these very small mom-and-pop type oil and gas companies. When those bonds start to default, and they will, it's hard to know how far those ripples from those stones in the lake kind of go.
You work in the holidays, or are you going to crawl under a rock till January?
I think I'm rock bound, John. Yeah.
Dan Dicker, author of Oil's Endless Bid. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.